Hello and welcome to Asbury Sermon Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. You're about to hear a sermon that was preached in the context of a worship service at Asbury Free Methodist Church in beautiful Perth, Ontario. We trust that it will help you move closer to Jesus. So without further ado, welcome to Asbury Sermons.
I'm here today to kind of share some of the things that God is doing, but I just want to make sure that I thank you for your support and for you joining with us in what God is doing. Our tagline at Tear Fund is following Jesus to where the need is greatest. And right now we have some incredible needs in our world, and we know those needs and we've been praying for those needs. And one of the most recent places that we're responding into is responding into Gaza with emergency food relief. And, you know, regardless of what you feel about in terms of that situation, we're dying and people are hungry. And so what would Jesus want us to do, right? He'd want us to follow him into that place of great need. And so we are privileged to partner with the Mennonite Central Committee, who are on the ground in Gaza, and they're able to get emergency food in. So it was a great privilege last week to see some of those food trucks that were actually able to get in with emergency food. And so we were grateful for that. We're also responding with food into South Sudan. Some of you will not know that South Sudan, there's a lot of refugees coming from the north into South Sudan. And so one of our aid workers was there a couple of weeks ago, and he says, you would not imagine how desperate it is in South Sudan. You know, climate challenges, war, and the desperation of food. And so as I always say to people, can you imagine being a mom or dad having to make choices about what kids you feed? Right, and so those are hard decisions to make, and so we're grateful to be able to respond with emergency food into that situation. In our scripture reading this morning, we heard the story of the Good Samaritan, and of course that religious leader came to Jesus, and as often would happen, he tried to ask him a question that would be tricking him, and so he asked him this question, who is my neighbor? It's actually a great question to be thinking about. Who is my neighbor? And as immediately as I ask that question, who is my neighbor, you're thinking about your neighbors. You know, who are the people that live around you? Where we live right now, our neighbor just sold their house. And so the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, I hope I get a good new neighbor, right? I hope I get a good new neighbor. And so you know the people that live around you and you appreciate them, and there might be where your neighbors aren't all that great, and that's another story another day. But you know, we think about our neighborhood, we live around, and for the most part they are like us, they think like us, they maybe have the same beliefs and the whole thing. And at Tear Fund, we are immersed in thinking about our neighbors in the global south. We're immersed in thinking about what are their needs, how do we respond to them, what are the things that we should be thinking about when it comes to our neighbors in the global south. And for the most part, our neighbors in the global south are living in extreme poverty. They're dealing with the ravages of climate crisis. They're facing the pain of war, conflict, and the brutal implications of the region in which they live and work, have their being. And they're thinking about, you know, food and food insecurity and what that actually looks like and what that actually is. Last November, I had the privilege of being in southern Ethiopia. And as I was in southern Ethiopia with a group of people showing them our work, normally what we do when we do that is at the beginning of that week, we step into the offices of our partners and we hear about all the different projects that are happening and we're learning about them so that later in the week we can go and actually see them. And so on this particular day, it was a Monday, we were in the offices and we were listening to our friend Barakat. And he was talking to us about the work that we do called church and community transformation. Working with churches to see development and transformation happen in communities. And Barakat was sharing with us one particular story, and he says, just this past week, I heard this story of a church called the Ganu. I want to share that story with you. And we're like, fantastic, Barakat, share it with us. And so he told us about this church that was reaching their community. And some of the things that they were doing is they were paying the health insurance for 39 people in their congregation so they could actually have health insurance where they lived. And they had taken in 10 orphans to help them to actually be able to go to school, and they were providing food for these 10 orphans. And they said, and one of the things we're also doing is we're building homes for widows. Isn't that fantastic, Pastor Brent? Maybe that's the next thing that Asbury can do, build some homes for widows, right? And so they were sharing about building homes for widows, and he shared with us that we had built a home for a witch doctor, and because the witch doctor had seen our love and the compassion of Jesus Christ, he actually came to faith in Jesus Christ. So that was fantastic. But then he said, we also built a home for a widow, and after we had built that home, her family was resistant and hesitant to the church. They thought that the church was going to do something that they weren't quite sure of, and so they were really hesitant to us building that home for their mother. But unfortunately, Mom died. And after Mom passed away, the church decided that they were going to pay for her funeral. And so they gathered in the church for this lady's funeral. As Barakat was sharing this story with us, he said, at the funeral, 13 of her family members came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's kind of one of those moments you should just go, wow, that's incredible, God. Thank you, right? And so I began to think to myself, wow, that is such an incredible story that I would actually like to go to that church. And I would actually like to hear firsthand from that pastor about what happened. And so a little bit later in the week, we were traveling again around the area of Soto in southern Ethiopia, and we went to this church called the Ganua Stadium Church. And there I am with this group of people that I had taken, along with the pastor and some of the members of their leadership team. And I went up to the pastor and I said, tell me again the story of building a home for a widow and 13 people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And the pastor, his name was Pastor Mesfin Jacob. He looked at me kind of like I was asking a strange question. And he says, oh, no. He says, you've got this. Oh, my, it was such a great story. How did I get this story wrong, right? He said, let me tell you the story. He said, this woman passed away after we had built this lovely house for her. And her family was very hesitant to us meeting their mom and helping her. And so we had decided to put on a funeral for mom, and so all the family members came, just like I'd already heard. And he then said, at the funeral, 13 households came to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm hearing this story, and I'm crying. I'm like, isn't this so amazing? You're amazing, God. Thank you for doing this. And I looked at Pastor Mesfin, and I said, Pastor Mesfin, what happened and motivated this church to actually do all these things? And then he began to tell me the story that our partner, Tara Paisa, had trained them in this thing called Church and Community Transformation, and they had gone for this training. And so they had begun to do all of these things. I said, Pastor Mesfin, that's great, but like, what was the thing? What was the motivation? What was the scripture that challenged you to do all these things? And he looked at me and he said this, the one scripture that challenged us the most and motivated to do all of this activity in our church was the story of the Good Samaritan. How can we not see people who live around us as Jesus sees people? And so we confronted this morning with this beautiful passage of scripture, and I would dare say that many of you at Asbury Church have read this passage of scripture before. Pastor Brent, you've probably preached on it before. We know the story. And sometimes in those stories that we know, it's easy for us to just kind of go, yeah, I know all that. Rather than about what is Jesus trying to say to me about how I should love my neighbor. And so we've got this beautiful story. And in this story, we know that, you know, there's this man who is traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. It would have been a dangerous road, and he probably would have traveled it on other occasions. But as he is traveling the road, he comes across this man who has been beaten, and Jesus unfolds the story by saying there were others who had come. They had passed by on the other side and the whole bit, because this man who was taking care of the one who has been robbed was a Samaritan man. Now, I don't think we have any modern parables, especially for us here in Perth, about the hatred that existed amongst those who were Samaritans. The Samaritans really were the hated people at that time. In fact, if you wanted to read that story from Scripture a little bit later today, notice when Jesus asks the man who showed mercy, he couldn't even say the word Samaritan. That's how much hatred there was there amongst these people. And so there's all these challenges that kind of slide up to us in terms of how are we supposed to actually care for people. Now, what is the lesson that God wants us to understand from this little story? Well, really what the lesson is that Jesus is challenging us with thoughts around being good neighbors. He's challenging us to see and have a global perspective and to see beyond the walls of simply our own neighborhoods and our own communities and our own regions, but he's asking us to see this beautiful world that we live in. Now, let's be honest for a second. Is this an easy thing to do? Is it easy to actually think about how do we engage with people who are not like us? How do we engage with people who have different, dare I say, religious beliefs? How do we engage with people who might cost us something, who might demand our time, our energy, our efforts? Don't you love it in that story of the Good Samaritan that it simply wasn't picking up the man and taking him to the nearest care center? It was more than that, wasn't it? He came back the next day. And I've kind of wondered to myself, like on that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, where was the care center? Where was the inn? And so it actually cost him something to go back there, to take out his own money, to pay for the care of this man who was not like him. And so being neighborly and being caring and being generous sometimes is going to cost us something. It is our willingness to act with empathy and kindness that defines our character. Can I say that again? It is our willingness to act with empathy and kindness that defines our character. The Good Samaritan teaches us to go beyond our differences and prejudices, and it reminds us that we are all interconnected. Our well-being is tied to the well-being of other people. And so let me take you again back to Africa. One of our partners in Africa is a partner that you here at Asbury Church have supported for many years. It's Fedeli Trust. Linda, I see the smile on your face. Fedeli Trust is doing great work in Kenya. 2 months ago, I was actually with Fedeli Trust, and I was hearing again the great work that they're doing. And the hallmark and the foundation of their work for many years was establishing self-help savings groups. And these savings groups would engage and allow women to have money and have the capacity to save money and share money and build up businesses. And that's been the bedrock of what Fedeli has done for many years. And I could go on and on bragging about that good work that they have been doing. But in the last few years, we have been challenging Fedeli to say it has to go beyond this. And it has to go to the bedrock of who is actually on the ground working with people, and it's the church. And so Fedeli began a process of training churches in church and community transformation, going beyond the walls of the church, going into places that are difficult and uncomfortable. In the last 2 years, Fedeli Trust has been able to work with more than 100 churches on this thing called church and community transformation. And as I was in Kenya just a couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to be at several of those churches and to hear what they're actually doing. And I want to share with you the story of just one of those churches by way of this little video. Do I need to do anything here? The video is not going to cooperate? No problem. I'll tell you the story of the video. This is a church in a place called Makueni County in southern Kenya. I was at this church, and one of the things that happened at this church is they encountered a young woman. And the young woman's name was Mercy. What a great name, right? They encountered a young woman named Mercy. And unfortunately, Mercy's parents had both passed away. But Mercy was forced to take care of 12 people in her family. Mercy was 21 years old. What do you do as a 21-year-old when you're forced to take care of 12 people in your family? You know, and all the resources and all the needs that you're kind of challenged with to actually take care of those food needs and those other daily needs. This church was the Good News Church of Yinzhou. Their pastor's name was Grace. I always think it rather symbolic and wonderful that the church is the Good News Church, the pastor's name is Grace, and the lady's name was Mercy. Pastor Grace heard of the needs of Mercy and the 12 people in her family. And because they had been engaged with church and community transformation, they said, what is God calling us to do? How is God calling us as the church to respond? They went to Mercy and they said, we want to help you with those food needs. And so every week, the church was helping Mercy take care of the 12 people in her family and providing them with the food they needed to move forward. Isn't that a great example of the hands of Jesus Christ and living out this thought of being a good neighbor? You see, it would have been very easy for that church to actually say, well, Mercy's got a need, but guess what? We've got so many other needs in our congregation. You know, we've got so many other things we want to do as a church. But they didn't do that. They said, how do we actually respond to this young lady called Mercy? I mean, her story was incredible. There was just so much that we could hear from her story. But as we heard from Mercy, in terms of when I was there, Mercy said this to us. We and I am so grateful for the church being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We and I are so grateful that the church saw us in our time of need and reached out to us that time of need. And so here is the church, and the church has responded to Mercy, the church has reached out to this young lady in an ongoing way. This is not a one-time thing. This is an ongoing thing of how they are reaching out to her. See, church and community transformation is recognizing that the largest service agency on planet Earth is the local church. And I could take you to some fairly remote places in sub-Saharan Africa, and we could travel down some rough, dusty roads. And guess what we'd find at the end of the road? We'd find a church. It could be meeting under a tree. It could be meeting in a very, you know, a rundown hut. Those of you who have traveled in the global south and in some other places, you know what I mean when I talk about churches. They're not always beautiful buildings like yours. But guess what? They're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ on the ground. The beautiful thing about the local church is that when they are trained to actually do what God calls them to do, here's the miracle of what happens. It's like the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells us that when the church acts like the church, God adds to the congregation. Daily, there are those who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You see, sometimes as churches and leaders and people, we think we got to come up with all these great plans and all these great ideas and all these great outreaches, Pastor Brent. You know it. You've been there. And you know what? No. At the end of the day, we do what God tells us to do. We love God and we love people. And so that's what Pastor Green, as I was at this church ago, they said, looked at me and said, guess what, Pastor? We're expanding the church. The church is growing. People are coming. Why? Because we are being like Jesus. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. That's the story of when we reach out to other people and we break down walls that separate us and divide us, and we simply love as God wants us to love. Now, I wish I had time this morning to tell stories like this, because I can tell again and again and again how God is working and how God is moving. And guess what? You're a part of it. You're helping to build homes for widows. You're helping to pay health insurance for people in the congregation who can't afford it. You're helping to send orphans to school through local churches all across the global South who are being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And so we're so grateful for you here at Asbury Church who support this work. I know that monthly and your offerings go to help so many in need. We're also grateful that there are some of you at this church who are also monthly donors. And so we're so grateful for our monthly donors who are the bedrock and the foundation, the work that we're able to accomplish, because God is working through you and in you to see people in places of greatest need, have those needs taken care of, because local churches are at work. And so again, a huge thank you to you. And if you have any questions about the work of Tear Fund, you and talk a little bit further about what God wants to continue to do. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good way that you work and for the good way that your work moves forward. And so we thank you for churches like the Good News Church and this faithful pastor called Grace, who's reaching out to people named Mercy because you have helped them to see beyond the church walls. And so we ask today that you help all of us to be good neighbors. Good neighbors to those who are like us and also to those who are not like us. And we thank you for how you will work and for what you will accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com. where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.